Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Dr. Paula Price, welcome to your show.
Yes, I decided we should come back together again this week, Ashley. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. It's always a great idea to connect with the body and to spread this word.
Oh, I have been enjoying, you're talking about connecting with the body, I have been enjoying them and enjoying how we're growing and how we're getting new friends and new listeners and all of that. It has been amazing, hasn't it been?
It has been amazing. It's been a wonderful surprise to see the success of the show, how many lives we're able to touch every week, how many people are spreading the word, telling their friends, telling their ministers, maybe telling their enemies so they can become friends, because we deal with so many topics and issues that are not about what we call church cheese, but they are about everyday life. You bring down the mighty mountain Moses word of God to where we're living. And I think everybody appreciates that. I think I can say thank you on behalf of, well, anyone who's heard your show.
Well, you know, I'm enjoying it immensely. And I tell you what, you're right. We are getting such amazing, I mean, genuinely amazing reports. And I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful for all that he's doing. But, you know, it's always been my passion to help the body of Christ in general. But my real love is working with leaders. I always, and have from the time God called me, enjoyed working with leaders. And that is what these Tuesday shows are about, not just people in leadership, because, you know, I have a training program, you remember, Ashley, called Talent, where we the first thing that a leader does is lead their lives. You know, we show our ability to lead others by how well we lead our own lives. And so I've enjoyed doing that over the years. And Tuesday night gives us an opportunity to direct, to slant what we're doing and what God is saying and all of that to the leadership, not just the people who are leading organizations, but the people who are leading homes and who are leading families and just leadership, because leadership is not a position first. It's a person and it's a purpose. You know, the hierarchy of the purposes in our lives determine our leadership potential and also our leadership outcomes. And so, you know, we make, in the church, we make a big deal about what Paul told Timothy about, you know, a bishop should keep his house well and, you know, a deacon and all of that. And he gave a whole lot of parameters for leadership, and they seem very elitist until you understand that success replicates itself. You know, when you're successful with your life, you can pass that on. You know, and then when everyone successively does that. So you think about how many commercials say, well, if it worked for me, it'll work for you. And if I can do it, you can do it. Why? Because life is about models and patterns. And models and patterns have standards and they have criteria. And as a result, if we lead our lives well, our personal lives well, and I mean not just well according to some unusual standard, but well according to, number one, God's vision and purpose for us, number two, our own comfort and appreciation of ourselves, and then number three, our ability to be useful in other lives and to our society. That's the last part of it. And so I get excited about these shows, particularly Tuesday night, because we get a chance to do that. Now, having said that, we are back again talking about the assessments and really giving people tools to lead their lives, tools to understand what it is to take control of your life and take control of your world. That includes everything. I was thinking about today, and I was saying to the Lord, well, you know, God, what direction could we really go today? Because I always pray, because God knows who will hear, who will listen, who's on the line, who comes back later. And I thought about it. But, you know, we need to understand how assessments work even for everyday things. You think about it. You have to make a decision about who's going to be a good friend, who's going to be a not-so-good friend, who's compatible. We have to assess people every second of the day. And most of us do it so imperceptibly, we don't realize that we do. We assess what the waiter in the store, the server, the waiter in the restaurant, the server in the store, the clerk, the person who's going to bring us our food, the person who's answering the phone for customer service. Every day we're assessing them. Why? We're assessing them to make sure that they are up to the task for what we need them to do. We're assessing them for compatibility. We're assessing them for common sense, good judgment. We're assessing them for knowledge of their jobs and knowledge of their experiences and all of those things. We are assessing people every second of every day. And when we get to the church, we still do it. Now, we don't call it assessment. We call it an unction. We call it anointment. We call it a feeling. We call it a spirit, this, you know, bearing witness. But when it's all said and done, life is about assessments. It's about assessing and evaluating people, situations, possibilities, potential, prospects, opportunities. All day long we do it. And so when I was thinking about us discussing our assessments tonight, you know, we have a lifetime of preparation and readiness to consider assessing ourselves, assessing our children. Am I raising my daughter well? Does she know right from wrong? Do they know the Lord? Do they have good values? Do they have good judgments? Can they make great decisions? Can they restrain their emotions? Are they going to survive kindergarten? Every day, when the minute you ask a question, the answer becomes or produces an assessment. And that is across the board. I don't care what you do. I don't care if it's good, bad, evil, ugly. It doesn't matter. And so when we're talking about these assessments, I realize that, you know, we do it so naturally as human beings because our society requires it of us that we don't realize that it's inherent to nature, but it should be inherent to the church. And that's what our assessments are about. They're about what's inherent to the church. They're about us getting the right people in the right place at the right time. They're about us, about giving people the right motivations for the selections and the people that they choose to anoint and appoint and that they promote, that they send out in their names. It's all about those things. And so I say that, I wanted to give that as an opening because as we go forward tonight, we're going to emphasize with our assessment tonight, we're going to emphasize the organizational piece of it. And we set the stage for it last week. For those of you who were with us or those of you who have not been on the site, please go back and listen to last week where we talked about gifts versus office, which is very powerful. I sincerely believe that that's the stranglehold on the church's competence and excellence is us understanding gift versus office and why it's important that we have a tool to determine whether or not a person can rise to and sustain the demands of an office and or whether or not they are better as a support to an office and they are really more effective being that backup team that makes sure that what God does for the fivefold or through the fivefold happens. So tonight we're talking organization. We have my daughter, Chief Prophet Tyler, and I'm excited. You know, I really am excited about my daughter being on, aside from her being my daughter. But, you know, you can have a lot of children and not one piece of fruit fall to the ground. I mean, what stays on the tree, most of them fall to the ground unfulfilled because they have different callings. But I'm glad to know that God gave me a daughter who is literally myself in the next generation. That is a powerful thing. So she was very instrumental in helping us pull together the organizational piece. So she'll be talking quite a bit about that because I think that's just something that's powerful. And we're going to speak to the people who are in leadership. We're going to speak to the people who have aspirations for leadership. We're going to speak to you who are in jobs that you have to make decisions and judgment calls every day. We're going to speak to you moms at home. You have to make decisions about your children and dads at home. You have to do that and family members. So don't think just because this is on this topic that there is no information or there's no wisdom here for you to get. But I think that idea about us human beings, no matter what your society is, no matter what your nationality is, human beings conduct assessments almost every second of the day. What do you think about that, Ashley?
Well, I think it's true. And you make it, your statements bring, I should say, kind of blow the church rhetoric out of the water. When you were talking about leadership parameters in the Bible seem elitist until you realize success replicates itself. That statement is like when you first taught us years ago that that leaders replicate after themselves and that we all make judgments every day. And judgments are not inherently wrong, but because we are taught, don't judge me, when you would teach us, but you get up in the morning, you make a decision on what you're going to wear. That's a judgment call. You decide if you're going to have coffee or water. That's a judgment call. And how we make judgments all the time. So I'm making that connection even with what you're saying about assessments. We assess people and situations every single day of our lives. One thing you talked about we assess what's common sense and what's not. Well, I think more and more we're all discovering that what once was common sense is not so common anymore. Okay. And the same is true about ministry. Once upon a time, it was not a question that you had to be certified or graduate to be a minister. It was a prestigious position, no matter what denomination you were in. When you say minister, unless you were in the backwoods somewhere and doing whatever, but if you were in a formalized, structured organization, it was a foregone conclusion that somebody trained you somewhere to do what you do. And with our breaking off from denominationalism and our breaking off from all these other restraints that we say have been put on us, particularly we see this more, although I'm sure it has spilled over now into others, in the apostles and the prophets sect of the kingdom, God told me to do it, I'm just going to do it, and you can't tell me I didn't hear from God, which is producing a lot of chaos, which is why we talked about gift versus office last week. So there is a definite place for this. You did teach us that you are the first person to lead is yourself. Yourself, your home, that is your first testing ground to see what kind of ministry you will ultimately have. So I love these assessments because it takes the guesswork out of who you are and where you are and who you are. Some people are, I should say many people are absolutely correct on who they are, who God made them to be. But where they are and who they are, that's another thing altogether. And that's what I love about the assessment.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out. That is very good because I thought about that as you were talking. Most people know themselves. I mean, our assessments end up showing people that they were right all along. I always like the ones where we go in and we do a whole bunch of them because we're talking organization tonight. We do a number of assessments in a particular organization, and, you know, they'll have their leadership come through because, well, we want to know what we're doing and we want to know why we have them. And so I love it when they do the assessments. And, you know, most people would think that the results are negative or our responses are negative. They really are. We have a very small number of dissatisfied assessees. Most people are impressed. They're blown away. They're excited because they say, I finally know who I am. But they're also excited because many of them are misplaced in their ministry. And their pastors love them dearly, but, you know, the church is the epitome of short-handedness and short-fundedness. We're going to be, if anybody's going to be short-handed and short-funded, it's going to be the church. And so we're always having to use people who are available, not necessarily people who are capable. And so in this particular environment with our assessments, we find people saying, I told my pastor that's not who I am. I said I couldn't do that. I've been feeling uncomfortable. Or we've had people who said, you know, I've been bluffing it. I've been faking it all of these years because my pastor said I had it. I didn't feel it. You know, I got to the point I dreaded Sundays. I dreaded midweek. I dreaded service. I dreaded when we had a newer project. I didn't like it. Not because I'm against my church, but because the things that I'm forced to do, they don't come natural to me. I'm not comfortable with them. And I always feel like I'm thrown in. And most people tell us, and I think you can probably attest to this, Ashley, most people tell us they feel like they're always in over their head.
Absolutely. Because even if they don't know the parameters of the office, they definitely feel the pressure.
and they don't like it. And some of them are just glad. So, and they say, I'm taking this to my pastor. I'm going to take this to my apostle or my prophet or my bishop because I want them to know this that I'm doing is not in me. And we're so, even if the person, because some people are just very good at just being good. You know, they're not necessarily compatible with what they're doing, but they're so good at being good at what they do. They're so conscientious and diligent that you almost miss that they are misplaced. And that's something else that our assessments give. They tell them, where is your place? Because you can be a prophet, any one of the fivefold. You can be that in every sphere of life. You know, when I'll never forget the time we had the whole thing with people, you know, where they can pastor, you know, outside of the church. You know, we're all up in arms. But you think about those social service people. You think about those chaplains. You think about the even a lot of the trainers and developers or the human resource people. They have that same spirit, maybe not the same protocols, but the same spirit of wanting to nurture people into success and nurture them into their victory and kind of coach them to tap into the best of themselves. So that's the other piece of the assessments that I love is that the people get quite a bit of affirmation. Some of them feel like, okay, I'm finally off the hook. Now, we do have folks that do, you know, I mean, come on, Ashley, we do get the people like, I don't care what you say. God called me to preach. I don't care what your assessment says. I'm going to preach. And I have usually found out that the people who do that are usually the ones that I ask this question, so what are you doing now? Well, I'm just waiting. Okay, thanks. Appreciate that. That's real clear to me. And so, but overall, our results have been overwhelmingly wonderful as people are finding their places. And then the leaders, the pastors, they're like, well, finally, I know what to do with this woman. Finally, I know what to do with this family. I know what to do with this guy because they didn't know. Many times the assessments are not giving you information you haven't had. It's giving you information you haven't been able to voice or articulate. You have a hunch. You have an unction. You feel so-and-so could do better. You feel that there's something else they can do, and you don't know it. And the second part of this whole, this particular stream of thought is that the advisement after the assessment brings out even more information. I adore it when I get to sit down with the pastors of these organizations or the heads of these entities. I get to sit down with them and go over their people with them, and then they get an opportunity to hear their people say, yeah, well, you know, at my job I do this, at my job I do that, for my community I do this, part of my hobby is that. Well, some of that never comes out in the church assignments because, we want everybody to stay in their assignment, and, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I found is a lot of pastors are stunned that the very resources that they're praying for are in their people who are misplaced. I think that is just astounding. So, you know, we can go on. But I want to find out, Carla, are you on the line?
Yes, she is.
I'm excited.
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Well, greet everybody and tell them what we're doing tonight. Well, Lisa, what you're doing.
Okay. Tonight we're going to be discussing the organizational assessments, and I believe that you wanted to kind of talk about what they are, how they can benefit churches and leaders, how they can use the information, what they're going to receive from doing an organizational versus just doing a individual assessment, and what they can walk away with in terms of, you know, recommendations, even, you know, training and resources and things that they can use to develop their people. So tonight we wanted to just take this opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about our team and group and organizational assessments. We've spent some time already talking about the individuals. But these are really great for people who want to assess, you know, quite a few people from their organization. You know, it's one thing if you want to just kind of send yourself through, send one or two people through. But if you have a team, a leadership team, a different ministries within your church that you want to have assessed, the organizational is perfect for that. And so tonight we want to just open up this platform so that people can be more aware of what this tool does and how much of a benefit it really is to them. for establishing the direction of their ministry, helping develop their groups and ministry teams, and really giving the leader overall an opportunity to be kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to doing their vision and carrying out what they believe the Lord has given them. What I like about the organizational assessments is that it does tell you the church's potential for really manifesting a particular vision or mission that they have based on the caliber of people that are in, you know, in their pews or within that ministry. And so I do love that aspect, because a lot of times we don't know what our church really can achieve. We know what we want to achieve by faith, but really being able to have a handle on the human assets that God has given you is just such a remarkable thing. When you can wrap your head around that and, like you said earlier, put them in the right places, use them, you know, appropriately, and really be able to get something done. And I think the organizational assessment offers leaders that kind of power and that kind of opportunity to really not just organize their people, but really get the best out of them and really position their church to prosper and achieve the vision that God's given them.
That's absolutely the case. And it's interesting, because when we think about the church, the organization, what motivated me to do it was that when I started ministry, well, probably for the first 10 or 20 years in ministry, I found it very difficult to get people to get the vision. You know, I kept thinking, I used to do leadership training all the time. I've got all of these wonderful people who are eager to help. But there are things that people just don't get about your vision. They don't get it because they may not be at that level in your organization, despite how indispensable they may be to your tasks, to your departments, or to your administration. And so the hardest thing that I had to realize was that, okay, what do I attract? And the organization assessments will say to you, leaders, whatever your entity is, it will say to you that you attract a certain amount of people or a certain type of person all the time. You will attract a certain type of leader. You will attract a certain type of preacher or minister or a helps person. You'll attract the same kind, which is why you feel like you're always caught up in the same cycle, because your ministry, your mantle, your mannerisms, your experience, the messages you speak, the conversations you stress and repeat and reiterate over and over again, all of that says a great deal about you to people who don't know you're saying it. And so they're hearing what they're looking for, and so they conclude, right, you're it. And they're not wrong, neither are you. But the fact of the matter is, when we started these organizational assessments, we constantly would have leaders that were throwing tens of thousands of dollars behind the vision that God gave them, that they thought was the way they wanted, God wanted them to do, but they weren't attracting the people to make the vision happen. And the one thing the Holy Spirit said to me was that it takes excellent people to produce an excellent ministry. And we can talk excellence, we can talk about it in theory, we can sing about it, we can put it in propaganda and, you know, literature, brochures, but bottom line, it takes excellent people to make an excellent ministry. But it also takes people who are compatible with your definition of excellence and then your application of it in the work that God gave you to do. So I'd like to use an example. We've had a couple of organizations that stand out in my mind right now, and one of them was the organization is, you know, we're going to be a powerful evangelical movement. I mean, we're going to save a million souls for Jesus Christ. So that was great. And I mean, they did, you know, talk about hitting the streets. They did all of that. Bore little fruit, really. People were tired and exasperated. They, you know, started dreading the weekends and, you know, we're going to do this evangelistic outreach, and they were dreading it. And so they did the assessment after going through a couple of upheavals. They did the assessment, and it's going to find out they don't attract evangelists. They weren't even attracting evangelical people. They were attracting prophets, apostles, and apostolic and prophetic educators. 70% of their leadership team, the people that they relied on, who made the decisions, the people who chose the other subordinate leaders, 70% of them were interested in education. So under that area, in your report, if you were getting a report right now, under the category of mantle attraction, we look at what you attract, because who attaches themselves to you ends up being who you have to rely on to make your vision happen. The people who were driving the ship were not interested in going out to get anyone else. They were interested in educating those that were here. Some of them were educating families. Some of them were educating community, because there's more than one way of doing it. Ultimately, the assessment said that 2% of their organization was interested in evangelism and outreach. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, that's where they were. Now, what they did with that, whole other story. But the point that I want to bring out is that you have to make sure that you're gathering the people that will make your vision happen, because maybe the people you're gathering are telling you how to adapt your vision to what God wants. And when we think about evangelism, or when we think about training, let's go back to training, this particular organization ended up, after a whole trying to, do it the other way, they still ended up starting a training center, because that's what they attracted. And in addition to that, the organizational assessments don't just tell you things like that, but it also tells you your level. For example, we need the people who have those folks to go out and minister, evangelically witness Jesus Christ. We need that. But we have to recognize that not everybody can do that, and not everybody can do it at that level. There are some people who are great on the street, with the man on the street, witnessing things, wonderful. There are other people that are better in a conference environment. Somebody else may be better in Bible study or fellowship. So you also, there's so many dynamics to success that we, the church, are pulling up the rear and exploring, that it's really unfortunate. Outside of the church, people make these decisions all the time. We're really not that kind of a company. We're this kind of a company, and we really are not trying to be the Fortune 500. We just want to make sure that our neighborhood has the services that we offer and that we do a good job in our community. There are companies who make that kind of prudent decision every day. New ones happen. They're not trying to overreach. They're not trying to underreach. They just want to fulfill the reason they're there. If you tell them, you can get this huge contract, I probably could, but I would probably destroy everything I'm doing, or I don't want to have that kind of pressure on my organization, whatever the reason. But people are suited not only for the particular sphere that they're called to, but they're also suited for the level that they're called to. We need the kindergarten teacher. We need that daycare helper. We need that attendant to do that. We need that. We need that volunteer at the hospital, And we're just assuming that if people are doing things like that must be because they're not intelligent. No. People work at their capacities. And we in the church are fond of overburdening people who have no capacity for what we want. The assessment takes all of that guesswork out of it for the leader, for that pastor, for the head of the church, the head of the business, the head of that network, takes all of that out of it, And so you're placing people properly. That's something that I thought needed to be said. In a minute, I'm going to have Prophet Tyler talk about the different groups, but I want to give you some other ways to think. As we talk about assessments, I started out by saying we assess people all the time. Now, all day long, you're assessing somebody. But when we talk about assessments, what are we talking about? We're talking about evaluations and analysis, words that we hear every day, Many of you who have your jobs, you're in companies that they use this language all the time. And it's not foreign to your natural mind, but when we start trying to get it over here in your spiritual mind, the spirit of your mind that Paul talks about to the Ephesians, the mind that created it all, the logos of God, we tend to get lost. Here are a few terms that I would like us to think about when we're talking on this subject, because these are the things that we do imperceptibly every day. Subconsciously, we do it. Number one, conditions. Everything's a condition. I'll do this if you do that. That's a condition. In the Bible, God has conditions all the time. If you, then I. If you don't, then I won't. If you respect me, I'll respect you. If you esteem me, I'll esteem you. You obey my voice, I'll bless you. If not, well, guess what? And so conditions are just normal. and we do it every day. We have conditions when we go to the supermarket. I want to get this cut of meat, or I want to get this type of fruit or vegetable. Okay, well, what type is it? Well, I'll buy it if. When you say, I will if, when you put an if in any thought, that's a condition. So we have to think about that. This person would be great on my staff if. I could appreciate so-and-so's effort if. You have a condition for your appreciation. You have a condition for your evaluation of the person, which brings me to valuation. You have to measure people's value to your vision, not value to God, not worth to the kingdom, but value to what God called you to do. You know, when you look at them, that value is determined in terms of increase, profit, profitability, productivity, efficiency, reliability, dependability, all of those things talk about value. You know, the person who is a night owl may not be good for your church, but the people who work 24-hour jobs, they love that. That's a value. It's valuable to get people who love to stay up at night, you know. It's very valuable to God to have those night watchmen, those prophets that can't go to bed. You know, he got the night watchmen, those prophets. They don't even come alive till 11 o'clock. But they're watching the fort all night long, praying, interceding, et cetera. That's value. So you have to start thinking in terms of people's value to what God is giving you to do overall, and then their particular value, that idiosyncratic value, that individual value that they bring that you can use. Have to do that, because we're talking about getting a job done. You're talking about not frustrating people. You're talking about not breaking your workers' hearts, you know, filling them full of disappointment. You know, when people are in over their head all the time, they eventually become discouraged, and they take it on themselves. It makes them feel like they're inadequate and they're incapable, and somehow or another they're failing God. So that's very important. Standards. Everybody, we use the word all the time, standards. Standard is the minimum that we will say that will take us out of mediocrity into effectiveness. Standard. You know, what are the principles we stand on? What are the kinds of quality of work you want your outcome or your efforts to stand on? Standards are important. We need that. God has standards for ministers. If you read your Bible, and I have read mine a lot, God does a lot with standards. You know, he chose Moses because Moses met the standard of someone who could go and talk to a king. Why? Well, Moses was on track to be a king. So he understood how a king thought, how a king believed, how a king acted. Moses was clearly the best thought, you know, best choice for the job. But God had a standard. We tell people that God doesn't have standards, and then he can't get what he wants out of them. They're frustrated. They can't deliver till eventually they just fade off into the darkness and wander off someplace where they can just get caught up in their imaginations and delusions of grandeur. We have also criteria. These are the things that are specifically, you know, these are the things that we call some criteria we get criticized. These are the things that you don't want to be criticized for. These are the things you need people to be able to do, and you need it to start with how they think and how they feel, you know, because people can do things and hate it. So one criteria would be we need you to like what you're doing. You know, a lot of people will get let go on their job not because they can't do the job, but because they bring morale down because they don't like what they're doing, so they're miserable. So that criteria is important. Then we have measurements. You know, you get paid every week by your measurements on your job. You make it every day in God by measurement. You know, God is a God of measuring. You're talking about meticulous with numbers. Goodness, you read the Leviticus and how he's saying we need an eighth of an omer of this, we need a hin of that, we need a quarter of this, we need this long for the shekel, and this much weight. And all. God, measurements are important. Why? Because measurements assure balance. And balance means things don't fall. So measurements are very, very, very important to your criteria. You need that. And then we need benchmarks. You know, benchmarks are is where you say, well, this separates this from this, okay? The people who can't do it are separated from the people who can do it by this benchmark. Everybody who can rise to this level, there we go. You're it. Now, if I want to promote somebody, I need another benchmark. Okay, so, because I have that break point between the people who disqualify and the people who qualify. See, it gives you those break points, and then you start going up the line again. Benchmarks are very important. We don't like to say that in the church because we feel like, well, we don't want anybody to be offended. But we're okay with offending God. We're okay with God losing his kingdom, bleeding Christians like a hemorrhage flow. We're okay with that. But we're not okay with people getting angry with us because we say, sweetheart, you're better over here. Son, this works for you over here. Sister, you are so great at that. Brother, that's not your strength. People innately want to be in their strength because people want to succeed. And so they may get offended because it's a shock to them because maybe we're hitting some sort of mental fantasy that they have. But when they come out of it and come to their senses, the great become greater because of your development and because of your critiques. People who walk away because their feelings get hurt, we're going to walk away anyhow because it's inevitable that in anything you do in life, your feelings will be hurt. So that's what they do. You cannot take that as some sort of failure on your part to walk in God's love, to be compassionate, to be understanding. Your first priority is to see to it that Jesus wins. That's it. That's the goal, that the king wins. And that because he has a lot of churches for a reason, that person may not be for your vision. May not. But why keep somebody there in delusion? Talking about, boy, he just keeps acting up. Yeah, he's not acting up. He's acting out. You know, so that's something for us to think about. In addition to that, there are levels. Everything has a level. When we talked about the benchmark, the benchmark determines levels. There are people who work well as level one. They're great at that, but, you know, we need level one because that's the maintainer, that's the sustainer. We need that. There are people who work level two, wonderful, but you need to know the level because that tells you the weight of complexity, the burdens, the intensity, frequency of assignments and tasks that you can give them successfully, that they can carry out effectively. You need to know that. For example, we have on the assessment, we have, you know, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in terms of our prophets and ministers. Why? Well, because grade 1 folk are just awakening. They're trying to say, hey, I think God's calling me to ministry. This is marvelous. They're waking up. Okay? Grade 2, man, God is calling me to ministry. Wow, what do I do? What do I do next? I don't know what to do now. I think I need to learn something. Grade 3, wow, well, the training's been great, but now how do I know if it's going to work? I need to figure out what I'm going to do. You see, so going up, you need to know that because you might be giving somebody elementary training and they are way past that. Or you might be giving somebody high-level training and they can't get it because you're way over their heads. So it's extremely important that you pay attention to where people peak out. Where do they peak out? Where do they tap out? I've got to go. I can't do it. You need to know what that is because it's important. That way you can make sure that you don't overfeed, but you also make sure that you don't starve. You don't overfeed the people at one level who are born to think simplistically, because you need some folks to think simplistically, because who's going to catch those coming up the white ranks? Who's going to catch that awakening minister but the person who thinks simplistically? But then you also need to not starve the intelligent, which we tend to do in the church. We starve the intelligent people. We make them feel bad for their education. We make them say, you know, you are bound by an educational demon. I don't even know what that is. I'm trying to figure out what that is. But one day, so you all can get on Facebook and tell me what that is. Because if it means somebody can read, write, think, process, have a little logic, have some prudence, I don't know. I don't think he got that from himself. I think that the only thing he invented was a lie and everything that looks like it. So we have to stop making people who are capable feel bad or feel like when they come into the church, they have to pull back. I have to pull back. I have to hide my strength. I don't have to hide my education because people are going to get angry. Come on, let's grow up. It's time for us to say goodbye to that. The next thing is capacity. Again, we talked a little bit about it. People have to have the capacity to do what you want. You need somebody to fix dinner for you if you're a pastor. Okay, I need someone to fix dinner for us, for my guests, and, you know, at the house. That's one capacity. But now the person who has to prepare for your conference, that's a whole other capacity. And you should know the difference between the two. So I have a couple more, then I'm done. And then, of course, capability. Can people really get it done? So the capacity, they have the capacity to do it, but now do they have not only the mental or emotional, but do they have the physical capability? Are they capable of lifting? You know, somebody should, here's a person that should be able to lift 25 pounds, but they've had an injury. They can't lift but 5. So that's capability. You need to know the difference. And then my personal favorite, which is my last one, and then I'll leave it open for Ashley and Prophet Ashley and Tyler to say, but my personal favorite is competence. You know, when I talked to God, when he started telling me about this, let's see, we're looking at maybe 8 years back, not probably more like 9 or 10, to be honest with you. So I started talking to God about this, you know, God, I don't understand what it is. God says, my church feels like mediocrity is my standard of excellence because they keep telling people I'll take anything they do, I'll take it any way they give it. And he says, and they have programmed my people to say they're excellence for the world and to bring their mediocrity to church, which is why they say, I'm tired, I stood all day, I'm sitting down. I'm sorry, now I got to do that in church. Why? We program them inadvertently, I believe. We program them to realize that because God is love and God is capable and God is tender and he's kind and all that, that he doesn't want excellence. But think about it. When I read my Bible, there was not one incompetent angel that showed up. Not one. God needs excellence because he's got serious issues and he's got strong opposition from strong powers, and he needs us to be capable and excellent in what we do, but he also needs us to be competent. And so I said, well, God, what is it? He told me to look it up. Well, I looked up competence, and it means able to compete. I didn't know that. You all probably did, but this is about 10 years ago, so don't feel bad for me. I've read a couple of dictionaries since then. So competence is able to compete. I said, well, God, what are we going to compete for? Because I'm thinking church, 2 hours church service. I'm thinking church, so certainly we don't need to compete in church. We're supposed to be there worshiping God, lifting up our hands. He said, but you realize that for you to get to that church service, I got to have to get people out of bed. They've worked all week. They're tired. I've got to keep their cars on. I've got to motivate them with enough inspiration for them to want to come every week, able to compete. He said, you realize that I have to compete every day for the souls that I save, will save, have saved. So the souls I'm saving, I'm competing. I'm wrestling with their past. I'm wrestling with childhood issues. I'm wrestling with so many things. And then I have to compete every day for them to stay safe. And so Paul talks about that. He said we have to be able to compete according to the rules. What is he saying? We must be competent. Because if we're not competent, we can't defeat God's adversary, his resistors, his opposition. That's important. But the assessment, our assessments, we'll tell you that, what a person's competence level is. And trust me, you know, don't get upset, you know, when you hear, okay, well, gee, I thought I was farther ahead. You might have been in one area, but not in something else. You know, you think about the military, my goodness, they hire all these people. Not everybody's carrying a gun. Not everybody's going to shoot a gun. They've got some people going to do the chaplain thing. There's some people that's going to do the cooking thing. Folk going to run. They're all in the same army, but they aren't all carrying the same level of responsibility as far as defending the nation goes. Some people, they're seeing to it that those who have to defend can do it. There are others that are making sure they get paid for doing it. Someone else is making sure they get good medical care. Someone else, good nutrition. Someone else, quality living quarters, and on it goes. We have to think differently, because when you read the Bible, Paul really does a lot to liken us to God's army. You know, he does. He said, you know, we have to be a good soldier over and over again. So I thought that was really great. I'm going to allow you, Ashley, you know, because I know you need your window, and I'm going to allow you to your window, and then I'm going to have Tyler tell me her. She's going to start talking about the different types of assessments we have organizationally. So, Ashley, are you there, Prophet?
I am here, and I really don't have much of anything to add because you went through – that list. Of course, I was thinking the exact same thing, Dr. Price.
And you would have said it if I took a breath, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Exactly. Speaking from experience, I would say a miniature testimony, coming into this ministry and hearing somebody speak in this language from the pulpit caused me to see why people thought our Savior is a lesser God, because we lower our standards. All the things you ran down, conditions, valuations, standards, criteria, measurements, benchmarks, all of it, we bring those down. And what we don't realize is that is actually what diminishes Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the eyes of those, well, people who are in the church and people who are not. It's not about the list of do's and don'ts that we feel it's about. It's about our own standards. How many people say, I went into witchcraft because I could not maintain any kind of be a powerful person when I met people in the church? They told me I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. And it wasn't about drinking and smoking. It was about being who they really are inherently, but being that for God. So I really, again, appreciate these assessments. And we see it time and time again that I know Prophet Tala has the same kind of moments on her advisement. When we connect those dots with somebody, when they are a rock star in their corporate or military or whatever job, but in the church they flounder. And they flounder because they check those standards at the door. They check their level of excellence. They'll put in 60, 80 hours on their job and put in and give their pastor a fit if they ask them to come one extra hour to church during the week or to start a weekly training or anything like that, yet they want to be taken as seriously in ministry as they do on their other job. But all of these things, when we begin to sew those revelations and those gaps together, it is the light bulb moment. And it's like, oh, really? Is that what's it? No, it's not this huge devil standing in the corner waiting to beat you upside the head. It is that you continually give God what's left over, and that's what you end up eating, a whole bunch of leftovers. And you can only exist on that for a while before you're like, I need a real meal. I need to do something with some substance. And these assessments offer the substance and the meat to the organizations that they need to really take their people to the next level. How many leaders say, oh, I'm just frustrated. They just need to listen. I don't know what else I need to say. But these assessments break down the nitty-gritty of this person is stuck here, but this person is stuck here. And this person really isn't stuck at all. It's just a communications issue. And it really, like you say, puts the control back in the hand of the leader without crushing the people.
I think that is a very, very excellent way of saying it, pretty thorough. And I'm going to close off this here, and then after we'll do, we'll have a couple of announcements, and then we're going to bring Prophet Tala on to do her part. But I wanted to close out on this. You know, for those of you who are listening to us tonight, I will always thank you for tuning in, because I don't take any of you for granted. But I want you to consider this thought. Typically, the standards we have for serving God are based on people's 2 to 2.5 hours per week of church. In other words, most of what we want to regulate is how people behave when they come to church. We don't think about what happens as far as their Christianity. You know, of course, we want them to be moral and all of that. Well, most people. But we don't think about that. We don't realize that it's not based on the universal premises of the church that Jesus said upon this rock, that upon this rock church, it's based on what we, how, when we deal with the people, which is at our worship service. So the rules, most of the rules we have are tied to how to behave when you come to church, when you stand up, when you sit down, when we have an event, when we do that, when the preacher comes, when the guest speaker comes. But you don't realize that all of the other things that people need, you know, when I think about what people need, I think about Moses in Exodus 18. It says he told the people the work they should do, because people visit us 2 hours, 4 hours a week tops, but the rest of the time they're in the world still afraid to tell anybody they belong to Jesus Christ, whispering about it, not only because of the difficulty, the persecution that is inherent to Christianity, but also because they just don't feel like they can measure up. Or like she just said, Jesus is not the smartest God. He's not the strongest God. He's not the wisest one. He certainly is not the savviest God. We know that he's not a competent God, and we know he's not a warring God. So why are we serving him again? We don't know. We've bought into that. And I would like to think, and that's the uniqueness of apostles and prophets. The uniqueness is they don't buy into that. And so because they don't, Jesus steps out of obscurity, and he steps into the light, and he begins to let them meet him and see him and hear him and interact with him. And if they really hang tough with him, he'll bring them right into his archives, and he'll show them. So that is how they're able to come and say, you know what, that's not order, that's not God, that's not how God wants to do it. God's a God of order, and on and on and on. They can do that because they they started with the fundamental premise, he's either Alpha and Omega, the great I am, the Lord of all, God of gods, King of kings, or he isn't. And if he isn't, then I'm not serving him. But if he is, I need to know him. And I think that that's part of the difficulty that we face. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit about the we're going to turn it over to Prophet Tyler. She's going to talk about types of assessments we have and share her thoughts on some of the things that we've said, because she's been key to helping them get going, as have been all of the advisors, even the Adia from last week and Atala, Adia, Ashley, all of them been a part of helping this thing get off the ground for the last 14 years. They got out of college and dedicated their lives to it, and now God wants to run with this. So we're going to take our break, and then when we come back, Tala, it'll be on you.
Welcome to PPM Global Resources, your one-stop ministry resource company. Whether ministry, professional, or personal, our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Explore the possibilities to conquer your world. Where are you going today? Ready to launch your own ministry? Want to develop a ministry training program? Looking for credible ministry education? You want guidance or direction? Maybe you just want to discover who you are. If you are a purpose seeker, looking for fresh resources, new ministry solutions, and endless possibilities, then welcome to PPM Global Resources, a ministry and professional resources company dedicated to meeting the needs of the 21st century minister. Why choose PPM Global? Because you want something better. We help build your vision, educate you in your calling, train you to succeed, teach you valuable skills, equip you to achieve, release you to conquer your world. Our business is your interests, whether ministry, professional, or personal. Our products cover a diverse range of subjects, topics, and ministry issues that hit the center of where you are. Think of us as your personal vision support team. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it. Your success is our passion. Check us out online or contact us at 877-649-PPMG.
Within the business world, assessments have been used for years to make decisions about personal development, hiring, managing, promoting, and leading others. But what about God's business? What can His leaders use to assess their ministries and churches? The answer is PPM Global Resources Standardized Ministry Assessment. Have your ministry organization assessed to find out what kind of church or ministry you have, if you and your organization are on the same page and compatible, how willing and able your members are to take on the vision the Lord gave you, if you have the right people in position to achieve that vision, and if you can help your congregation or organization get into their purpose. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today and click on Group Assessment for more information and to get your ministry organization started. Or call 877-419-1299 to speak with a representative. PPM Global Resources. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
And we are back from our break with Dr. Paula Price and Prophet Tala Price talking about the organizational assessment. Prophet Tala, welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I'm, you know, was really thrilled by the conversation and really felt like Dr. Price did a great job in outlining just some background on, assessments and how to view them and how to use them and really start shifting our perspective on how beneficial they truly are and to move away from the standard intimidation that usually is associated with anything that's going to provide, critique or correction or any of that sort of thing about our performance, particularly when it comes to ministry, because that's something we've been told for a long time that only the Holy Spirit can assess. And so there's no tangible ways to know whether or not someone can, be, specifically called or be measured as competent you know, or proficient at something versus just called. And so we've been taught that for years. So I just thought that laying out those definitions and those terms, providing a foundation and groundwork for why, you know, assessments are needed, and the fact that they are commonplace and you can't get around it. You can't get around making an assessment or using assessment or assessment-type measurement to make decisions. If you're going to be a quality decision maker, then you're going to have to use these systems or these elements, if you will, in your process of coming to some sort of conclusion, you know, in any of the matters that are before you. So I love the fact that we have kind of taken it out of the you know, twilight zone, if you will, of the church and brought it into everyday life, because that's what these assessments are designed to do. They're designed to equip and empower and really identify the things and even fortify things that we use in our, that are needed in our everyday life. Our talents and our faculties are such a part of who we are, and they're such a part of our success in our day-to-day living that I think having something like this is just so instrumental. And I'm excited to have this opportunity to talk about them today because they're so necessary for I think they're necessary for the health and the growth and prosperity and even perpetuity of any organization. So I'd like to just, you know, kind of talk a little bit about the organizational versus the individual assessment, since most people are aware of the individual assessment, and we've had quite a few people come through and take them, and there are a lot of people who are not aware of the benefit of having or going through an organizational assessment process versus just sending, you know, different individuals through and having them take it and just kind of reading their results as they come in. The organizational side is designed to do a little bit more for leaders than just provide individual results. It does do that, but it also allows the leader to use those individual results in a way that will give them a comprehensive view of their organization and where the organization can go, where it is at that moment, where it can go, and different things that they can even plan and use. In terms of setting up, as Dr. Price pointed out earlier, setting up their vision, you know, coming up with a plan for where they need to go, dealing with, you know, what's in their pews, what they're attracting, and how to just really shape the type of organization that God has given them. There, you know, this was kind of motivated when we started realizing there were certain things that leaders wanted to know about the assessments versus the individuals that were taking them, and they were asking the same questions over and over again in terms of where their organization was and having something that would help them be able to shape it and take it into the future they wanted it to go, especially in that direction. So we kind of developed these around those needs. As Dr. Price said, she always had a desire to put the power of, you know, structuring and forecasting and even projecting and establishing the vision and even the people of a ministry back into the hands of the leader. Because, you know, we had to rely on, and leaders are often, as she pointed out, because of just, you know, limited resources, starting something new, on and on, and things like that. A lot of times they're at the mercy of who walks in the door and what they say their experience is and what their anointing is. Well, this is what I feel like God's called me to do. And before, we just either had to pray in the spirit, use discernment, or just accept that. But now with the organizational, the leader now has the power to actually have a tool or resource and sit down and be able to make quality decisions like any, you know, institution in the world, forget just even Christendom, but any institution in the world would do to safeguard, protect, and even try to prosper what God has given them to do. So there are like 10 things that the organizational assessment answers, and I wanted to start off with those and then kind of talk about the different types, if that is, you know, okay. There are 10 things that the assessment will reveal to you that every leader should know about their organization, because what we discovered is that each organization is just as unique as an individual, okay? And when you're taking your personalized assessment, you discover your own uniqueness and contributions and assets and that you bring to, you know, to God's ministry or God's service. And collectively, an organization does the same thing and has its own unique character and dynamic and personality and strength and all of those things that it brings, you know, to the kingdom of God. So 10 things that the organizational assessment will help a leader answer. First, what type of church do I have? You know, every leader will want to know what type of church they really have. And what the assessment does is based on the caliber of your people and, or I should say, the complexion of your people that you have in your midst, that you attract and all of those things, we can help you identify what type of church you really have. She brought up the example earlier of the church that was going after saving the world and being, you know, a traditional evangelical church, finding out that actually they are a teaching church, a church that really is geared more towards the educational aspects of the kingdom and discipleship more than just the evangelist activities. So we have that. Number two, is my congregation and I on the same page, or are my congregation and I on the same page? Are you guys together on your vision? Because you're in the prayer closet, you're receiving these wonderful visitations and visions from the Lord, and then your the people in your pew are somewhere else, okay? They're having their own visitations from the Lord. And so what happens with the organizational assessment is that you get to actually see your vision through the eyes of your people to see whether or not you guys can work together in making something happen. So are you guys on the same page? Are they compatible with you, okay? Because we've had churches where we've had people say, well, I'm an apostle, and so my church is apostolic, and then we discover that the people are more pastoral, or they're more prophetic, or, as we pointed out before, more academic. So they're not necessarily apostolic. So are they compatible with your calling as a leader in your mantle? It also will kind of talk about if your congregation, oh, I'm sorry, if you're attracting members that are compatible with the vision that God gave you, as Dr. Price pointed out, do you have the people in your seats that can help you accomplish what God's given you to do? Also, what kind of congregation does your leadership style? Your leadership style, as she pointed out, the messages that you preach, the things that you emphasize, you know, in your church services or as the services that you want to provide to the body, you know, is that going to help you achieve what you feel like God's called you to do? Also, are your members willing and able to do the vision? You'll find out, okay, is this person able to do this vision? Because they could love you dearly, and as she pointed out, not have the capability of pulling that off, particularly in the position that they might be in. Sometimes we found that reshifting them does go, you know, take a person from having just potential or being incompatible to all of a sudden being very capable of carrying something out. And sometimes it helps you figure out if you have people who just, that's not what they're interested in. That's not what they want to do. And you want to know that as a leader so that you are, you know, not just carrying around, you know, a whole lot of heavy weight that's not able to move or propel the church forward. The other thing is, can it help you? Can you as a leader help the people that you have around you get into their purpose as well? It also will let you know how compatible you are with helping them fulfill the call that's on their life. And so you can find out, you know, are we a fit for one another in doing this? And do you have your people in the right position for them to excel in the work that you have for them in the church and also the work that God has for them in their lives? Because a lot of times we as leaders, you need to know, am I the one that can help you get to where you need to be? Is this, as she pointed out, is this the ministry for you? Is this the church where you're going to best thrive and survive and prosper in the Lord? So we have those 10 things that every leader should know that the assessment will help you realize, you know, through the results. And it does so in a very unique way that we'll talk about, too, in just a moment here. The group assessment will give you information about your church on an expansive level, an expanded level. It takes kind of the individualized results, rather, and gives them a lot more information that will be tailored toward an organization rather than just an individual. And that's what people really enjoy. The people who have gone through the organizational assessment process, they enjoy the fact that the assessments do give them that expanded knowledge and information that is tailored to their church. And it helps them understand what their church is specifically called to do, especially in an age where we are taught that we're supposed to be carbon copies and cookie cutters of one another. And I love the fact that Dr. Price addressed that, you know, that each church doesn't have to be a carbon copy of the church next door, and that you have to wonder what you're doing right or wrong before the Lord because you are or are not succeeding as, you know, your neighbor, you know, the way they are, you know. So they've gotten thousands because they've instituted a new campaign to, you know, evangelize the neighborhood and do all this kind of stuff. You institute it, it doesn't work. And sometimes we don't know why. So with the expanded results, you get an opportunity to really understand who your church is specifically. So it gives you your own identity as well as the dominant giftings of your church, okay, and the best environment for your church to thrive in, the best arena of ministry, sphere, you know, that will work for you, that will cause you to succeed based on the type of people that you attract, based on what's compatible with you and the vision that you want to achieve for the Lord. So combining all of those things together, it really does give your church an ID. So you'll love that about it. It also gives you an opportunity to understand your church's readiness to succeed at whatever vision that God's given you based on the caliber of people that you have. And because, again, you know, it takes, as Dr. Price said, excellent people to pull off an excellent vision. So we take those individualized results, we compile them together, and give you a profile for your church to know your church's readiness and what it has at its disposal, the resources it has right now for you to succeed. It also lets you know the things that can possibly threaten your church's vision success, which is very important. I love this aspect of it, and a lot of leaders do too, because they get an opportunity to see where in their organization some weaknesses or possible deficiencies are that are holding them back and keeping them from moving forward and really succeeding at what God's given them. Sometimes we don't know where it is. We know that this is not working, and we're not sure what it is. Is it a matter of one person being in the wrong place or emphasizing things that that we shouldn't be emphasizing, or having things that, you know, training or development that's needed for things that people in the pew don't know? Because a lot of times this is what the organization does help leaders find out, is how much are your people really getting what you're putting out there? You know, you're preaching, you're teaching, you're trying to impart knowledge and information to them, and the assessment will help you really assess if they're getting it. Are they picking that up? We had one church that we did theirs, and they discovered, wow, you know, our church members know a lot about ministry and how to, you know, serve us, but they don't know enough about the Word of God. And we're thinking, we're teaching them the Word, we've got this class, that class going, this thing going, and they were able to measure how effective a lot of the current programs, training programs, and developmental tools they had already at work in the church were really, you know, how effective those really were, you know, based on where their people were stuck. In terms of what showed up on their assessment. So this will let you know a lot of the deficiencies as well as what can threaten you, what might be the potential things that can be going on that will be hindering your vision, you know, based on, again, what's in the caliber of the people, what's sitting in your seat. So that's a strong element that comes out in the organizational. In addition to that, we don't just leave it at the readiness, and we don't just leave it at the strengths and deficiencies. We also give you recommendations based on that. This comes with a full course plan based on what shows up in your church's collective or comprehensive assessment results. So you'll be able to walk away with a 5-year plan for where you need to go, what you need to work on, what needs to shift and change in your organization. And if you sit down with an expanded document, you know, we give you a nice thick binder that you sit down and you can go through as a leader and really be able to say, okay, here's what I want to do. And you can do it without having to sit down and poll everybody in the church, meet with everyone. You can take this document, go before the Lord, and really get clarity on how you want to proceed. So it comes with that course plan. It comes with our recommendations. Another cool feature that it comes with, which is my favorite, is that Dr. Price actually gives you a chart and graphs, okay, which is great, because you don't usually get this when you're dealing with the kingdom, but you get these wonderful charts and graphs that also let you know your ministry gifting concentrations in your church, okay? So the concentration of ministry gifting. So you can sit down and really plan the future for where you want to go and how you want to what direction you want to take your church in terms of your vision and how, even what pieces of your vision you want to roll out at what times, based on knowing the concentration of ministry giftings you have. For example, this will tell you have 11% apostles in your church. Your church is comprised of 13% pastors, others 12% of its helps. Other parts of it is people who are into business and finance. It'll tell you have this 18% that are in special ministries, and maybe 20% of that is general service. So you know how many apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and other types, helps and administration that are in your church. So that'll also let you know how you're going to be able to achieve the vision that God's given you, which I think is great. And I wish I could say that was just all that you were going to get in terms of being able to plan your future as a ministry. But she also gives you a forecast. okay, which will let you know, based on where you are right now, the complexion of your church right now, and if you go on this particular recommended training path, we deal with some of the deficiencies, we shift some people around, that this is what the complexion of your ministry can be in the future, statistically speaking, based on the results. So we say, okay, right now you're dominating as a pastoral church, okay, because we have some people who were needed to be in different places. There was an emphasis on things, you know, other things that, you know, were not related to where the people were. Now that we've changed some things around, you could end up being an apostolic church in 5 years or ending up with this many teachers, that many, you know, evangelists in the future by following a certain training program and course. So it helps you kind of project, you know, a little bit of what your church is going to be like and what kind of resources you can pull on. So that is, these are some great features that you get in there, as well as being able to see the whole, as well as being able to see the contribution each person makes. And it lets you know who's working well with whom, which is great to know too. We give you different comparative views where you can take, you can have a result that we can give you a results portion that will show pretty much, okay, you have these five, you know, leaders working together in this team or in this group. You add, you know, two other leaders into it, it makes it one type of team, or it makes their strengths and deficiencies view one way. Then you remove certain people and you can see that, okay, that changes the complexion of the group, that changes their strengths, it changes their identity, it changes what they're able to do. So you can see what works best for your organization, department by department, group by group, person by person. So if we offer that kind of detail in our report so that you can really, you know, go into the nitty-gritty and say, okay, this is how I want this to function, or this is the best, you know, group or team for this. These are the people that will work best for this department. This is who should be in high leadership next to us, you know, versus those that need to be in the lay leadership because that's where they thrive better. As Prophet Ashley pointed out earlier, some people don't do well with the high-level pressure. You pull them out of the high-level view of the team, and it will show you, oh, look, all of a sudden your leadership team can now soar or is strengthened or improves or becomes or takes on a whole different complexion, ministerial concentration or complexion. So you have that as well, in addition to getting some comparative charts that you can see your people side by side and really be able to sit down and say, okay, this is where I need to go. This is what I need to do. It's a powerful, robust tool that puts the power of decision-making back into the hands of the leader, and you don't feel so vulnerable, you don't feel so exposed, or having to kind of, you know, just take a risk, you know, well, we'll just take a risk and see how it goes with brother so-and-so, and then it doesn't go so well, and the backlash is you know, and the ramifications are far-reaching, and so now you don't have to do that. You can actually forecast and get into the spirit and pray. You know, so you and the Holy Ghost can become a team and really set in order the kind of church that he wants you to have and that he's ordained for your life, and that will be in the best interest of the people that he's given you to serve your vision. So that's just kind of an overview of just some of the elements. I know that Dr. Price will touch on some others that are very key, but those are the key things that you can walk away with knowing that the assessments can do for you as a leader, and why getting this organizational, very extensive, very comprehensive organizational report can benefit you. You'll take this report. We have people who still refer to it. They read it. It's kind of like, you know, their second Bible, if you will, you know, for their operations, for their church operations and, you know, activities. And so it's really, really good in that regard. Now, there are different types of organizational assessments that you can take. For people who want to, and I love this too, for people who have a smaller team, or you're wanting to, let's just say you want to build a ministry team to plant a church, you're a coach who is mentoring a group, you have a training class, a small training class of people that you're training, or you have a department in your church that's concerning you, you can take a team assessment. It's, you know, for a very small number of people, if it's like, you know, 5 to 10 people that you want to do, or you just want to assess certain leaders and get a view of them, you can take a team assessment. And we will definitely compile the results for you. The difference with the team assessment is that you don't get the Cadillac of the full, where you get, you know, charts and graphs and all of that. because let's just say you just want to know where the results are for these five or ten, and basically what you can do with these people, this cluster of people versus a whole entire organization. So if you want to know just what to do with a cluster of people, you can take a team assessment with us. It comes with a nice package that will give you their results, compile the results for you, as well as a professional consultation that will let you know how to handle the results and where to go with those people. And so it's very good if you just want to know what to do with the cluster, you just want to kind of assess where they are and how they might fit in something that you want to achieve. Again, it's for that small group, it's for that coach, that mentor who's mentoring a group, that training class, or that small department. We also offer group assessments which go up from there, where they're 10 to 25 participants or so, where you want to kind of see where they fit within your organization, okay? So this is great where you just want to start kind of piece by piece going through your organization. You may want to start off with a group if you don't want to start off assessing a lot of people, okay? Some people do start off with the group if they want to deal with their leadership. They feel it's important to get the leadership in place first because it's usually the foundation for how the church is going to function or flow or stabilize. And so they'll have their groups come in and do that. What's great about this is that this one will give you an opportunity to assess collective results again. It still comes with a professional consultation, and it lets you know what this group's impact will be on your organization. So it gives you a little bit more than what you would get with the team, so you get a little bit more information each time because it does help you, again, tie this particular group to an organization and what you want to see from that group within that organization. Now, of course, all of the fun things that I named that you can get out of the assessment are inside of what we call our full organizational assessment. That's the one that's what we call the Cadillac that gives you everything, the charts, the graph, the course plan, the recommendation, the PowerPoint presentation, the proposal of services, all of the things that you can do. So it really is a very robust thing that gives you everything at your fingertips you need to take your organization to the next level and way into the future of what God has for it. So that one is for participants of about 25 or more. This goes all the way up. You know, we've done group assessments that had 90 people, 100, you know, so, you know, there's no cap on that. And what I like about this, the full assessments, is that it will grow with you. So if you take a round of, let's just say you did a round of 50, 60 people, we've done a group report for you, giving you some information, then you get an influx of growth or change in your church and you want a new round of people to take assessments again, you can send them through. And we will produce a new group report for you with those people in the mix so that you can now see, okay, now this is the new complexion of your church with this new influx of talent, faculties, abilities, and all of those things and other dynamics that now are in the church structure and a part of the church flow. So we will grow with you with these assessments too. And so they're absolutely great for that. And we can go, like I said, department by department. We can do the whole church. We can go from top to bottom. It has so much flexibility, so much flexibility. And so it's important for us to really get that out there to you that this is a great way for you to go if you're a leader that's at the building. We've had people who are planting churches right now who want to do this. Great time to do it, getting this done at the ground level, so you don't have to go back and do a lot of oops and ooh, we didn't know and wow. You can get in at the ground level, and we would be happy to partner with you and grow with you through the process of establishing your organization. And so it's great for that, and it's also great if you already established or if you want to start new programs, start new departments, and want to find out who qualifies for that. We want to start this new thing over here. We want to open up a community center. Who would be great? We work great for that as well. So it really does grow with you. It's a great tool for that. And it really, again, it just gives you the ability as a leader to feel safe, secure about the decisions you're making in relationship to the human assets that God has given you to work with. Amen? So I would, you know, those are the key things that I wanted to say about the assessment today, and I'm sure Dr. Price will have some thoughts on that. But it's great. I can't stress, again, how powerful and robust this tool is and how much benefit you're going to get for years. It's worth the investment. You'll get the return on investment you'll get in the first year. So it's worth it.
Wow. Well, are you done?
I did my job. I love
you
it.
You did
too.
Your job. Yeah, you left me four things to say. I really appreciate that.
I wanted you to have those four things because they're important.
They're important, and it's four good things. Well, I want to, Tawanda, first of all, I want to thank you for it. It was very thorough. Did a great job, as usual, of making, you know, sharing what we're doing and giving the examples. So I appreciate that. Want to talk to you also, when we talk about the assessments, a couple of things I want to just leave you with. Number one, remember leaders, and again, this doesn't stop there. We've had, case in point, we've had youngsters, you know, teens take this assessment for the youth groups and all of that. So we don't have those kind of limitations. But I want to tell you, there's a difference between being able to serve someone and work with them. And when I say that, I mean that often we think that they're the same. If we have to serve them, then, you know, we have to be able to work with them. And so we use the same judgments and the same judgment tools and parameters for working with people that we would use for serving them. And so we're assigning needs that don't exist in the different categories. I needed to make that clear because I thought that was important. I also wanted you to know that the organizational assessments are not just limited to churches. We have all kinds of organizations. It's just the churches tend to be the ones that are most interested and in need and, you know, the most common for what we're doing since that's where we came from. We started with that. The next thing I wanted to say to you is that the organization assessment will also tell you the part of Jesus you're working with. You know, because we're so used to things being cookie cutter, we're all going to do it the same way, that we don't realize that how God manifests himself in one organization is not the same way that he manifests himself in another. There are different things. The way that he acted with Peter, James, and John is not what he did with Bartholomew and Thaddeus and Simon. They're not the same. You know, and he certainly didn't have Judas on the Mount of Transfiguration on purpose, but that doesn't mean he didn't train him or develop him. So I want to say to you that this has a lot to do with the mantle on your house, because we can have our own visions. We can start out with our own visions. All of us who started out, and I started out, again, you know, three decades ago, but all of us who started out, we started out thinking, you know, God called me to do this. Well, sometimes your training start is not your dominant start. God wants you to get used to the kingdom. He wants you to get used to how he thinks. He wants you to get used to how people are, and on and on and on it goes. Because he wants that to happen, he'll put you in, give you a vision that's not complete. I can tell you from experience that what I'm doing today, I never dreamed. Not in 10,000 years would I have dreamed it if the Lord hadn't told me. I remember thinking after I did my first book, and it was a little pamphlet. It wasn't even much of anything, but I was so proud of myself. I said, well, God, I did what you called me to do, and so I'm ready to go home. I'm done. I don't have anything else to offer. And I'm glad that he didn't laugh at me, and I'm so thankful for his restraint, because I'm sure he wanted to crack up, because I've already been in this service a few minutes, but I felt like that little bit that I did was abundant. And so he said, you haven't begun to do what I called you to do. And I'm saying, well, I did what you said. You told me to start a church, start a school, start all of the things, and I ran down the list of all that I did. He said, you haven't begun to do what I called you to do. And then I went at it again. I'm trying to think, well, maybe he's not getting what I'm saying. Finally, I made my last comment, and he said it again very, very firmly. You have not begun to do what I called you to do. And so I said to him, well, God, what is it? He said, if I told you now, you would not believe me. And I said, huh? I said, God, you're God. I got, you know, who's the head of the faith movement? Who's going to tell God you don't believe him? So I said, God, I've got this. I can do this. No, you won't believe me. And he said it a third time. You won't believe me. And here I am, all of these years later, saying he was 100% correct. I hadn't begun to do what he called me to do. And no, I did not believe him. There was no way I had even the framework, the mental structure to comprehend I'm going to do this. And I say that to you because many of you are out there like me. You think that because you put so much effort in it, so much energy in something, that that is what God called you to do. And perhaps I submit this to you. Perhaps what God called you to do, you have not yet heard. But until you move to another level, oftentimes Jesus is kind of like the video games. Until you break through one level, you can't break the seal on the next. And I hear God saying to some of you, let me break you through this level so that I can break the seal on what I really gave you to do. And God is thinking differently today. When he was in the earlier times, when he first started out talking about the early church, he didn't have electricity. They did not have motility. They didn't have energy. They didn't have anything. It was very pedestrian society, very simple, very nomadic. Not a lot of cities had gone up. None of those things had happened. So God's needs were different then. Now but we confuse God's needs in the era in which he approaches us with God himself and his world. God had to bring that down. He scaled down a lot for us, just for us to say, you know, oh, yeah, Jesus is Lord. And so now we're in a more complex society. You know, we're in that information age where you need to read, you need to think. You know, information is zipping past us and going beyond what we can imagine. And as a result, we as his people, if we're going to say he is the Most High God, he's the best God, he's all of that, if we're going to say it and expect people to not only believe it but to respect it, then we need to alter what we are giving God. We need to look like we belong to the Most High God, that we have the mind of Christ, because what we're offering up and what we're exhibiting today as the mind of Christ is not entirely how Jesus thought. And so that's what these assessments are going to do. We want you to think differently. That's why we're doing this on Tuesday nights. We want you to think differently. We want to, those of you who are ready, some of you are ready to go and reach for that ring in God. I want to get that next level. This is a tool for you to do it. You will think differently. You will speak differently. You will process information differently as a result of it. It is an amazing tool. So I wanted to say that because knowing how Jesus is in your world is important. And knowing how he manifests himself in your church. We already know from the Revelation that he has seven churches. So think about it. 12 tribes, 12 apostles. That's 24 right there. And then we've got seven churches on top of that. So if God at least manifests himself at least that much, you know, we're talking about, you know, in over 30 ways for us to know Jesus Christ, 30 ways for him to do that. We won't even add the fact that he is the King of glory. God has an entire kingdom that he's committed into his hands, and he's every day he's looking for people who are going to help him keep it going, finish his vision, and all of that. But time is winding up, folks, so we don't have the same time for trial and error that we had before. A lot of us, and I've said it myself, God, I'm at a point in my life where I don't have a lot of time to try, and I don't have a lot of let me pray and fast and seek God for 40 days and see what's going to happen. I don't have that any longer. If I need to do it, that is fine. But if God has a more excellent way, a more expedient way for us to get this stuff done, let's do it. What if we can get people in quality training? What if we got them in training that was totally what they needed, not training that we want to get it? What if we started tailoring people's development programs and readiness programs to what we need them to do as opposed to what they're interested in? I, myself, as a trainer, I have to be very careful with people I have in my classroom. Some people want to be there because they just want to hear new things. They're just knowledge hungry. They're just information hungry. They're not necessarily knowledge hungry. Some of you are the same way. But then you have these people that are going to do something with what you're saying and what you're sharing and what you are laying down your life for. Those people, you should know them. You don't have to wait 3 or 5 years to see who's who. You can know now with this tool. So we're going to have take another short break, and when we come back, we will we'll talk a little bit more about some of the other elements of the assessment. So, Ashley, there you go.
Have you ever wondered, why do I hear from God? Is what happens when I pray normal? Why do I think so differently? Is my relationship with God unusual? How do I explain my experiences with God? Does anyone else experience these things? I have so many talents, but how do I find my purpose? I know I'm called to ministry, but where do I begin? These daily questions lead to one solution. Introducing the Standardized Ministry Assessments Series. What was on God's mind when He made you? Find out how our assessments can help you uncover your greatest mystery, you. Our standardized ministry assessments consist of 800 ministry-specific questions, 114 ministry-based categories, 50 ministry classifications, a comprehensive gift analysis, fivefold office identifiers, automatic response indicators, targeted benchmark scoring, automated result interpretations, custom readiness path options, call-specific recommendations, personal ministry advisement. Is this basically a personality test? No. Your results are custom designed and not based on the traditional data used to determine your personality type or IQ. Instead, your results come from you, how you think, and what you believe, not predetermined categories into which you must loosely fit. Dr. Paula Price's nearly 25 years of research and experience see to that. How is this different from a spiritual gift test? Our assessments are not a test, and assess more than just your spiritual gift, what you are good at and may be interested in doing for your church. We help you define your ministry calling, how ready you are to do it full time, the type of training you need to do it well, and the best place for you to prosper whether in or out of the church. They don't just give you a number, they give you a life plan. We offer three levels of assessments: the Ministry Assessment Questionnaire, the Prophetic Aptitude Questionnaire, the Apostolic Diagnostic. So what's your ministry IQ? Discover yours today. www.drpaulaprice.com or call 877-649-PPMG.
All right, and we are back, Dr. Price.
Well, I understand you have a couple of things for me. What is it?
I have some testimonies here in front of me about the assessments and what people are saying about them.
Well, then I'm excited. I want to hear.
All right, Deborah says, let me say, the assessment was so in caps on target. I'm glad I was sitting down when I heard and read the assessment. I'm still speechless. I learned the area God has assigned to me, which I knew, but to connect it to what I am currently doing and redirect me to what I should be doing is what blew me away. OMG. This is an assessment that I am not taking lightly. I must find my path back to where I should be and not where others have placed me. Thank you for such a powerful assessment. I highly recommend others to take this assessment. So
wow.
That was Deborah, and this is Kim. OMG. Are we seeing a common theme here? OMG. The assessment, she says the assessment is thebomb.com. I was blown away by the accuracy of the results of the assessment. It reveals my calling, strengths, and weaknesses. It highlighted the education and years I needed to be an effective officer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an answer to my prayer. No longer do I have to be driven by who man says that I am, but be driven by who God declared me to be on the earth. The assessment helped anchor me in my purpose. Thank you, Dr. Paula Price and team, for being obedient to pioneer and birth a life-empowering tool for His body.
Wow.
That was good.
So
that was good.
That was good. That was good. So what do you have, a bunch of those in your little bag back there? What is that?
Well, Prophet Adia has them in her little bag, and then she sends them through the internet digital bag, and then I get it.
So what were you thinking when we were talking, when she was talking about the churches, what would you like to say to exhort the leaders or the people who are listening to us tonight concerning the organizational assessments? Because you've had your own experiences with them as well.
I did. First of all, I must say there's not much left to say after Prophet Tala's thorough explanation, for sure. I thought
she ate it up, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And I was like, yeah, we do that, don't we? But I would say, I would tell the organizational leaders, do it. It can only help. If you have people in your midst who are not helping, you want to know. That doesn't mean that there is a Judas in your midst. It may mean that they're just misplaced. And wouldn't we all like to know who is actually a destroyer among us and who is someone who is just misplaced? A load-bearing beam on the wrong wall or in the wrong place will not hold up the wall, everything or the ceiling. Everything has to be together in the right place. And so I would say take it, start with the people who are your closest leaders, the ones who influence the rest of the body, that core group, and branch out from there for sure. You can only be blessed by this. Sometimes it's kind of like, I don't know if I want to know what I don't know. But overall, it's just the best thing that sometimes you're like, well, I don't know. Maybe ignorance is bliss after all, but that's not what the Word of God says, because many ministries really are perishing because of the lack of knowledge, and it's the lack of knowledge of who is with them, where they are, all of the things Prophet Tala ran down. What was one of the notes that I wrote? Oh, when she said, you get to see your vision through the eyes of your people. That is invaluable. You know, when your people sit down in front of you, Dr. Price, we love you, and we know we can tell you the truth. Whenever you say you want, I mean, you always want to hear it, but whenever you open up a platform to say, okay, I really want to know, we know that, and we know we're not going to get backlash or blowback from you ever. But not every leader is like that. And so sometimes you're not comfortable with your people telling you, or they're not comfortable telling you because they're not sure how everything is going to play out. Well, the assessment is kind of the good and bad cop at the same time. It's going to highlight the good thing, the strengths, the power areas, and then those threats and the things that we need to strengthen without that leader having to be the heavy to say, you know, I've been telling you for this amount of time or whatever, but it's their answers. Or, I knew I was right when I promoted you. See, we're moving in the right direction. It's not about opinion anymore. It's not about a gut instinct. Leaders don't have to fly by the seat of their face and hope that this thing just doesn't crash and burn suddenly. How many churches say, Dr. Price, everything was fine, and then everything just blew up out of nowhere?
Oh, my goodness. Awesome.
When really, it didn't blow up out of nowhere, but they didn't know how to read the signs of trouble. Or the signs of danger, or some of them saw this thing is never going to work, and they look up, and 5 and 10 years later, these people are the most stable ones that they've ever seen. Never really saw it coming, and so the organizational results really are a destiny book. They lead, guide, they govern. It's the 3G. They guard. They do all the things for the ministry. With the leader, it's a tool that you can sit down and go through time and time and time again, plot and plan, have answers and solutions. How many churches are transitioning into apostleship and don't really know what's happening? Wouldn't you like to get a report that says, your church is not falling apart, it's transitioning? And it can often look like the same thing. So the options here and the benefits to me are, we just don't even have enough time to talk about them, because they're the scenarios that play out, the situations that leaders find themselves in. You know, you have a family move into your church or into your leadership, and you need to know if that whole group of people that just came in, are they going to help build you and make you stronger, or will they ultimately tear you apart?
Well, I'm excited about it. I want to address something, because it came up a couple of times as we were talking earlier, and I want to speak to the leaders who are very reluctant. You're hesitant to do it because you're afraid of being exposed, or you think it's going to say something about your leadership or your approach that you don't want to know or that you don't want your people to know. Number one, we are for sure full discretion, so your people won't know what we say to you. They won't even know what your results are, because that's not why this exists. But I want to tell you that we have found with the leaders that we have conducted these assessments with that leaders know their people. I have found very few leaders who did not know their people. As a matter of fact, when I was sitting down with one church, and I don't know, he must have had about, 30, 40 people in a day, and we sat there maybe over 2 days, I think it was. We sat there over a two-day period, both Tyler and I. We were just going through all of his results because, you know, it was a long process. And it got to be a game to him, and he began to say, all right, he did not know what the results were, and he would begin to guess them. And sure enough, he'd be right. And he was right the majority of the time. I would have to say at least 80, 85% of the time, he was right. And not only was he right, but his people were properly placed. And so he just had a few things to tweak. And sometimes in your leadership team, in your ministry team, in your staff, there are those people that you just need to tweak. And it's, so it's not some sort of huge statement on your own quality of work or abilities. It genuinely is a tool, and tools that can be used to help you achieve things, to help you get things done. I felt that I needed to say that because we often encounter leaders that, well, I don't think that's it. The other thing I would like to talk to you about, because we're running out of time now, we're coming down to the end of our time, but the other thing that I would love to talk to you about is the uniqueness of the assessment. Because it's Christian-based, the language is not church, which most of our assessees absolutely love, especially those who are in the world. The assessment, the language is for the position that we're doing, that we're assessing you for. So you're not going to see a lot of churchese. You're not going to see a lot of the spiritual language. Why? Because spiritual language, however effective it is, however inspiring it is immeasurable. You cannot measure the anointing. You can say so-and-so is really anointed. Why? Well, because, I mean, he really spoke that word, and you can't measure the anointing. You just can't. I don't care how wonderful it is. You can't measure how people felt. You can't measure by the people that got slain in the spirit because, well, the people who didn't get slain may have been listening, or the people who got slain in the spirit might just love the joy of it all. You can't measure it by any of those things. So the assessment has language that is measurable, and it paints pictures that are tangible, that are moldable. It's going to, you'll begin to get an idea and a picture in your mind. When you see somebody is anointed, you really don't know what that means. When you say somebody is loving, well, I just put him in position because he just has such love for God's people. Well, you know, when I read the Bible and they talk about measurable versus, you know, immeasurable evaluation, my mind goes to, for example, Dorcas. They wanted Peter to bring Dorcas back to life. Now, they didn't convince Peter, but she was just loving. They said, she's done much good for our people. But then they said, come see what she did. And they showed him her work, her tangible output. And apparently that output was useful to the community because it persuaded Peter. So God is a God of tangibility. When you think about God measuring the saints, the first day, about 3,000 souls got saved. I mean, that happened. But we could have said the first day, a lot of people got saved, but a lot is very, very subjective to people. So for some people, a lot is 100. For other people, a lot is 50,000. You need to have measurability, and we have to have that. That's something that the assessments give, but that's also something that unnerves a lot of Christians because we've gotten too comfortable with soft definitions, soft measurements, soft standards, that, you know, using words that don't really paint a picture but gender a feeling. We are good at using words that engender feeling, but they don't give us tangibility. I can say I had a great experience in church today. Someone else can say the guy talked too long and bored me to death. Someone else can say that the prophet, she wouldn't shut up. You understand, we need measurability. And many of us have people in place because they made us feel good. But that doesn't mean that they will get the job done or that we can even prove to others why they're in position other than, well, you like them. They made you feel good. So now that sounds like favoritism. Favoritism is a tough thing for a person to be in an organization because there is no logic to it. There's no rhyme or reason to favoritism other than you're just favored. Now, that means that the person who makes the decision felt good. You affected them in a favorable way. And they like that feeling, but that doesn't mean that you're good at your job, or it doesn't even mean that a person who can do the job better will ever get a fair shake. And so there are just so many benefits to this tool that, you know, we can go on. What we're going to discuss when we get together next week is we're going to talk about the elements of it. So we're going to tell you about the different types of ministers. We're going to tell you and just give you a little bit of an idea of a different what kind of ministers there are. We're going to talk to you as time goes on about the different types of prophets or apostles there are. We're going to talk to you about how to know if a person is a prophetic intercessor or an intercessory prophet, and there are differences. And you should know that because that's going to tell you how to place it. We'll cover this talking about how to know who's effective for being on a prophetic company versus the prayer team versus the praise and worship team versus the person who should be on your finance committee, because the assessments will tell you that, because there are a lot of people who are on finance committees because they have money, but they don't have the capacity, or they're too emotional about it to make quality business decisions. You need to know those kinds of things. And again, we've said it to you over and over and over throughout our time tonight. It is important that we know who labors among us. But it's also important that if you're going to be in leadership, that you have the resources to take the lead in decisions and to be able to take the lead for initiatives. So, because sometimes we don't. There's a part of the organizational assessments of under the prophets and apostles, because first of all, we have five major assessment tools, and then we have about eight others that are more informal, not as complex. And so, but the one of the things about the assessments that I absolutely love that God gave me to do, I don't know a leader in the kingdom alive today who wouldn't appreciate it. And that is the compass. We have what we call a compass. That compass is the literal job description of your ministry. Now, we have one for the organizations, and we also have one for the advanced level apostle and prophet. You don't have to figure out what you're to do every day. Wouldn't you love to know that? Okay, they tell me I'm a prophet. They tell me I'm an apostle. They tell me that I have an apostolic church. They tell me I have an evangelical church. They tell me that I have a pastor, whatever. They tell me these things. What does that look like? Often, again, talking about taking these soft, nebulous brushstrokes and bringing them into a focused picture of who you are. Once we tell you who you are, the next thing we need to do is to tell you what that means. When people talk to us in church and they give us, you know, I just felt like, oh, I just felt the Spirit wash all over me, and it was wonderful. Yes, that's great. But when people talk to us about ministry, well, I just have a burning in my heart that God, I need something more tangible. And worship service, wash over me, Jesus, that's wonderful. You know, just have a great time, Lord, that's fantastic. But when God brought those people away, when Jesus separated his apostles for their training and development, he was very concrete. He talked brushstrokes to the masses. But as a leader, getting his team prepared, he talked finite things. He gave specific things. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he gave those parables, and then it says when he was alone, he explained all things to his disciples. That's where we need to be. All things means he got specific. The Lord wanted to send Moses out to go and get his people. Say he had to tell them what that looked like. Now, Moses, you know, I want you to just go get him. Just tell Pharaoh something. I don't know. Just let him know that he got to listen. No. But Moses said, well, that's fine. I can say the word, but how do I know I'm going to succeed? And God had to give him specific, concrete signs to succeed. Your people need specifics to succeed. They need to know what you call success. They need to know how they are to give you that success. And they need to know what you call success looks like in action. And that's what these assessments will do. We give you what it looks like in action. We let you know. For example, there's a segment on it that I personally love that has a success ratio. And it says that this person is, you know, 4 out of 5 times this person is going to give you what you ask for. 4 out of 5 times. You know, 5 obviously being, you know, the 100%. But then we have another one that says 2 out of 5 times, or 8 out of 10 times, or 3 out of 10 times. That's important because that tells you how much independent trust you can give a staffer who can give you back what you're asking for. There are people that need to be micromanaged. There are people you can not micromanage, and then there are other people you can just connect, just report to. You know, you need to know that. If we're going to be excellent, and that's what these assessments are about, it's about us ceasing to talk about excellence and starting to measure it and define it and measure it for the people, and then translate that definition and to translate that measurement into tasks and performance. You know, how does that look like? If we're talking about, we have a, now think about it, a prayer warrior. Very difficult to measure a prayer warrior because, after all, prayer is pretty abstract. So we have a prayer warrior. How do we measure the prayer warrior? You know, how do you know who is the prayer person? Who should be in charge? You're going to start a training class. You're going to bring, you know, you bring all your people in, but how are you going to decide on who it is? Are you going to decide it based on the one that prayed the loudest, the one that prayed the longest, the ones whose tongues were more eloquent, the ones whose words were very long? What will be your measurement? Because, again, going back to those words, condition, standards, criteria, measurements, benchmarks, level, capacity, capability, competence. You know, these are recorded every week, so if any of you who are listening to us today or you want to hand them off to your leaders, please feel free to do so. Just go back to the Blog Talk site and go to my page, and you can listen to it again so that you can get these words. But start using more than soft language and soft adjectives to describe your people or to measure their effectiveness or their talents or their potential. Start using difficult, concrete words, because when you have a difficult assignment, it's pretty tough to say somebody is anointed. If you have 5 people on your staff and you say all 5 of them are anointed, what does that mean? If you say all 5 people on your staff are spiritual, what does that mean? And are they all equally spiritual? Are they all spiritual in the same way? Are they all anointed in the same capacity? What does that mean? When you start talking, again, for the pulpit, that's wonderful. People come to church, they want to feel good on Sundays. People come to our midweek services, they come to Bible studies, they want to feel good, I want to be uplifted. That's great. But when you're talking about making something happen, you know, I like what God said about Daniel that touched my heart. When Daniel was chosen to work for the king, they had a statement in there that said that the king should suffer no damage. I thought about that when God first said it. He said, you know, my people don't even know what I put them in power for. They don't know what I put them in position for. They don't know why I promote them, why I even have these positions open. The number one thing is that Jesus said about his father, he said that I can finish the work he gave me to do. That's number one. Let's finish his work. The next thing is that of all that he's given me, I should lose nothing. That we have got to, as the church's leaders, stop being okay with God suffering great losses. You know, and so he said that. He said that I'm sent to speak his words. I'm sent to speak the words of him who sent me. You know, I'm sent to gather the lost sheep of Israel. Those are specific things, concrete things. They're active words, and they're active definitions and descriptions of what he's called to do. And I would like to say to you, as we're wrapping up for this evening, even when you start thinking about your calling, as you start thinking about your destiny, thinking about working for God, thinking about being acceptable unto God, approved unto God. Let's cut away from the pulpit language. That belongs on Sunday mornings. That belongs in General Assembly. And let's move into the communications that leaders have with their followers, that bosses have with their staffers, and on and on. Let's start looking at why you're doing it. Many times, and this has just been one of those things of God, thank the Lord he's helped me to be free of. Many times we are unfair in our assessment of people, not because we are unfair in heart, but because we have not become accustomed to measuring them by anything but soft, tangible, emotional things. The reason emotions are fluid is because you can't gather them. You take a glass full of water, until you put the water in that glass, you can't measure it. You have to put it in something hard and tangible and concrete. You take that same glass of water and you say, gee, this is a 12-ounce glass. It's there. It's proven. It's standard. Everybody knows what a 12-ounce glass looks like on some level. But now you take that same glass and you turn around and you throw it on the floor and you break it. And then you gather it up. You can no longer measure that water, because you don't know if it's exactly the same 12 ounces, or did it seep through the crack, did it tilt to the left? It doesn't matter. But you need to have fluid things in a hard container. And it is the container that gives you the weight, the value, the size, the strength, the capacity, the endurance. Our people are vessels unto God. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. God put his spirit in vessels because that's what gives us the things, the tangible things, the concrete things that we need to make sure that they can do it. So we do need to know their experience. We do need to know their grades. We do need to know their background. We need to know their reputation. We need to know their credibility. We need to know their emotional state, because there's a section in the assessment that talks about emotional maturity, their emotional intelligence. You need to know that, because a brilliant person who can only control themselves 4 hours out the day cannot be given an 8-hour job. That's just not going to work. So all of those things are what we're talking about. I think this has been a great evening. I thank you all for listening. I'm going to let Ashley and Tyler give their closing remarks, and then we will get back together next week. We're going to talk about that compass. I want to say to you all, if you're listening or passing this on, call us. Go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and say, I want to do the assessment. If you're interested in the organizational assessments, we have a very nice presentation that we put together to walk you through it. I hope that when Tyler talks to you again, she'll tell you about some of the people that she's been presenting and the feedback we've been getting. But This is not just something that I'm in love with. Okay, you're just so in love with this. No, this thing works. We've used it in several countries. We've used it across the board. We've used it in and out of the church. And this is a tool that the Holy Spirit is very, very pleased with, and he is using it. It's useful for him to have this tool. And so God is doing something different in our church, and he's doing something different in our world. And so this tool enables you to do divine order God's way, because a lot of times even divine order is subjective until we give it that tangibility. We put the measures on it. We put the parameters on it. We give it that this is the benchmark. This is the ceiling. Okay, this breaks the ceiling. All of that's important. So I thank you for listening. I'm going to allow the two of them to give their final closing remarks, and we're going to get together next week. We're going to talk about the compass. We're going to start talking about the different offices. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Price. Prophet Tala, we have 2 minutes left. Take it away.
All right. In the 2 minutes that we have left, I just want to invite everyone who was on the line today who was interested in finding out more information about our organizational assessment to not only visit our site, www.ppmglobalresources.com. That's www.peterpetermary.com. globalresources.com. There's a lot of information outlined there, but to also schedule a demo. We do, as Dr. Price said, we have a great presentation. We kind of give you a test drive before you actually have to invest in the service itself, and it allow you to ask questions and see some of the things that we discussed today firsthand and really get a closer look at what the organizational assessment can do for you. So do call our office or visit our website. I'd love to do a demonstration for you so that you can understand the benefit of this very robust and comprehensive tool for advancing your ministry. Again, www.ppmglobalresources.com or 877-419-1299 to schedule that organizational demonstration. Thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on the Paula Price Show. If you would like to attend one of Dr. Price's upcoming events, book her for your own event, purchase products, or take a ministry assessment, visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com or by phone at 877-419-1299. If you like what you heard today, become a Paula Price Show supporter for just $15 per month. That number again is 877-419-1299 or visit us online at www.drpaulaprice.com.